Page 249, Chief Executive Officer Performance Review Approach and Timeline. Councillor Telfer.
I'll move as per the recommendations, and I myself don't have any amendments to take up. I don't know if any of the other elected members have found any amendments in the timeline. Otherwise, obviously, those last three four words in number one would come out.
If the motion is passed, then I think we're being asked to then choose a consultant.
We have three names at the back, and we're just ratifying that they go to tender on those as per the tender document in the back.
Oh, I see, that those three would get the invitation to tender. Yes, sorry. All right, is that motion seconded? Councillor Crossland. Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Holt.
Mr. Mayor, the KPIs, as you have identified, are linked to the corporate KPIs, and why wouldn't they be? However, when the corporate KPIs are not even clear to us, because we haven't run the KPIs past the audit committee, I just wonder whether the danger for the CEO is that we lock in KPIs that sets him up to fail. In other words, we actually have a list of projects that we want to achieve, juxtapositioned alongside our intent to keep the rates at a sustainable low. And I think going forward, we need to keep asking ourselves that question as to whether we are asking the CEO to achieve the impossible because of our lack of understanding of our business going forward. So that's the big concern that I have. I would have preferred this to have gone to the committee that I'm a member of, being the People and Culture Committee. I have concerns about that. I have a lot of concerns that I won't air now, Mr. Mayor. I've made my views known to all of us. Those views, however, Mr. Mayor, if this was to happen again, I would share it with my community.
Thank you. Look, I do have a question. There's certainly something in what you say, Councillor Hull. In the timeline that's presented to us, we don't actually have the fixing of Chief Executive Officer KPIs. There's a reference for 10th of May to review the current business plan and Chief Executive KPIs for the next financial year, but we haven't actually done that in a way that arrived at a conclusion. So at the moment, we don't have organisational KPIs set. We don't have Chief Executive Officer KPIs set. So that was going to be my question to Ms. Roberts, our HR manager, about how those two issues are going to be resolved and how that relates to the time frame that's presented to us.
Through the Chair. If I can just say, Councillor Hull, this report, I guess this particular issue did go to the People and Culture Committee. What you're referring to is the development of the KPIs, which is to be discussed in the confidential item later this evening. So I just wanted to make that clarification, I guess, in relation to the report that we're talking about now. And to answer your question, Mayor, I might defer also to Ms. McKenzie, because I know that you've been involved in, I guess, the timing of the KPI development as well, if I can see your input on that.
Through the Chair, if Council so desired, there after tonight in the confidential item, We can refer, there's an audit committee meeting on the 31st of May. That agenda will be going out on Friday. So there is an opportunity to have audit committee input into the KPIs if council desired. You're right in that the timeline is missing an opportunity for council to formally set those, and we can certainly incorporate it into the timeline. If we wanted to do that before the end of the financial year, it would need to be the last meeting in June.
Well, it's all very well to have the audit committee review the draft organisational KPIs, but apart from emails that have been circulating, we actually haven't had a chance as a group to discuss those. So when are staff proposing that we have an opportunity to do that?
Through the chair, I don't have the best conversation would obviously be through an elected member forum. I don't have the schedule with me, but we can work with members of when an appropriate time may be.
Well, what's the deadline, in a sense, for coming up with at least draft organisational KPIs? I mean, were these going to be discussed at the audit committee meeting next week? Or... next week, so people are looking at me a bit blankly, but it's next week. So if we were going to put any KPIs to the audit committee, we'd really need to discuss it tonight. And yet we don't really have them formally before us. Ms. Councillor Telfer?
Is it possible for me to bring forward some suggested KPIs in the confidential item this evening with a schedule that would cover it?
Well, yes, it is. It sounds like that's probably the best solution. That's the best offer I've heard so far, so thanks for that. All right. Just trying to make sure that everything's covered, because those organisational KPIs, we want to coincide with the Chief Executive Officer KPIs, and we want to put them into the annual business plan. So... we've just run out of time, it seems, to address the issue. Mr. Scull?
Through your worship, I wasn't going to say anything, but I will if you give me the opportunity. There's a bit of a disconnect between the organisational KPIs, which run financial year, and the CEO's KPIs, which will commence in November this year, and that might be something that the elected members would want to consider. But of course I would assume that the organisational KPIs will be incorporated obviously into the CEO KPIs.
Yeah, I think the current thinking, even though it's not definite, is that Chief Executive Officer KPIs would also relate to a financial year, but in fact the audited results of a financial year, but there are other strictly non-financial KPIs which could run November to November. So that could all work. So we'll get to that item later on. Councillor Hull?
The announcement by at least one party about Edwardstown has actually created a very real scenario that would obviously attract our attention and then in turn be a KPI for the CEO, because you know, it's becoming more of a real prospect. So I think it is an evolving thing. It's something that can change as we go along, but I would have liked to have seen the council better prepared than we currently are.
Okay. Well, is there any more discussion? It's been moved and seconded. That's right. Then I'll put the motion as printed. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We go on to netball, page 259 of the agenda, Cove Sports and Community Club netball court resurfacing. Councillor Crossland.
Can I move as printed, please?
Yes. Did you wish to speak to it? Go. Oh, sorry, is that seconded? Councillor Byram? Yep. I'll come back to you. Councillor Crossland, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is the second time this is before council. Since the last time it was before us, unfortunately the Netball Club lost the federal funding for the resurfacing. But all credit to them. They've raised another $5,000 towards the maintenance of their courts, and they've applied for another grant funding, this time through the government's Rec and Sport. Look, this is a huge group, really well supported. I think we've got 550 female members at the club. There's two clubs using it. Not really a great deal I can say, except for it's much overdue maintenance that's needed on these courts. If we don't actually move to fix them pretty soon, then we are at risk of losing one of the clubs being able to play there. So I would ask all council members to support the motion as printed.
Councillor Byram? Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Westwood? Amendment is in order.
I'm actually not in support of council being quite so harsh towards our sporting bodies, and I do think that we are the landlord of much of the all our courts, etc. And we should be actually underwriting all the work that goes on there. The tenants are tenants, or the lessees are lessees.
Point of order.
Councillor Hull?
I just have to ask the question, Mr. Mayor, if removing point five is the direct opposite, because...
No, I rule there is no point of order. It's acceptable to delete that... paragraph that recommend that motion without having a contrary impact to the rest of the motion. So no point of order. Councillor Westwood, please go on.
Right, so basically I'd like to be kinder to all our sporting bodies and community bodies, and I'd like the council to take the responsibility that I believe any landlord should, and that is any repairs, certainly major repairs and work such as this, should be the responsibility of the council, and it can in some way try to recover some of the cost from the lessees. That's fair enough, within reason. That's basically it. Thank you.
We now vote on the amendment. Oh, sorry, is there a seconder to the amendment? Last chance. If there's no seconder, then the amendment lapses. Councillor Valescu, are you seconding?
No,
the
I
amendment?
Do have a question. If
well, all right. Well, last call. There's no seconder. The amendment lapses for want of a seconder. Question from Councillor Valescu.
In regards to maintenance and renewal of facilities, is that something that we're looking at as part of our review of leases? Because whilst it may not be appropriate to put it in this motion, the fact that what role the clubs and what role council plays is worth considering. So I just wanted some clarity as to whether that is something that maybe as part of the lease processes we're looking at.
Well, I can say that it is, and in forums we've begun the discussion about a different approach to the tenants of council facilities. The land and property team will be bringing to us a more comprehensive report about how we want to deal with our tenants, what arrangements there should be for maintenance and so on. So you are indeed onto something there, Councillor Valescu. All right, we've heard a mover, a seconder. If there's no one speaking against the motion, I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go to page 263 and note the question and answer in relation to the Lorenzen site. Moving ahead, a question and answer in relation to election signage. And then we come to Councillor Gard's motion regarding rates, fairness and equity. So, Councillor Gard to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think everyone would have in hand the updated data sheets on the valuations recorded by me and set by the Valuer General and checked against sales in the City of Marion across all suburbs in this financial year, comparing generally older style houses rather than the new urban infill type of abode, so that we're getting a fair bit of like with like. May I say that it's plainly obvious from the front page of this report that the Valuer General's office makes it impossible for council to deliver on fairness and equity as according to Section 8, subsections H and I of our Act. And as long as we go on from now on, now that I've pointed out how bad the discrepancies are, not observing that fact, well, then we become party to the fact. And it greatly concerns me that when you look at this front page, you can see, having regard, firstly, for the fact that the Valuer General's Office claims they aim at 92% of valuations, here we have, in this financial year, against houses sold in this financial year, 33% of all houses have valuations under 80% of the sold price, and 76% of all houses have values below 90% of the sold price. Not even close, VG, I'm afraid. Then take into account that you have suburbs like Shido Park, where 27 out of 30 properties are valued above 80% of their sold price. I don't think I need to go on very much further. And so the motion that I'm putting is that the Valuer General do some homework and get it right. If, to the man around this table, we all believe in fairness and equity, all of us believe in fairness and equity, and I'm looking at each and every one of you, then you will be voting positively for this motion. This is a test of your values and of your integrities. This, might I add, discrepancy in the rate system for someone with a house where I live valued at around about $600,000 has that ratepayer paying of the order of $2,000 to $3,000 more in rates than they should be over a period of 10 years. Now, that is disgraceful, members. That is absolutely disgraceful. And if we're going to oversee that into the future, well then, good luck to you when the ratepayers come at you, because this, of course, will be going to the public. It has gone to the public. So I thoroughly commend the motion put. I will be very disappointed, if it's not a unanimous vote. But let's see how we go.
Before I ask for a seconder, can I just clarify one thing? Essentially, if, and there are extensive tables, suburb by suburb, of the comparison between market value and Valuer General's value of a range of properties. So if the Valuer General's value is less than 100% of market value, then from the council rates point of view, those people are paying less than they should. Is that right, Councillor Gard?
We were all paying 20% of market value, there would be equity. If we were all paying 150% of market value, there would be equity. The issue is the spread. And what we're doing is observing people in certain suburbs more than others And even within suburbs, even within Marino, my own suburb, people are being seriously undervalued in instances. And what I'm saying is that whilst that prevails, one set of people is subsidising another perpetually, not just this year, not just last year, and not just next year, but perpetually on a growing and accruing basis.
Councillor Gard, I'm really just trying to help distill the essence of the intent behind the motion. Now, if one looks at the Hallett Cove figures, there's about 10% of those figures where the Valuer General's valuation is above what is considered the market value, presumably what those properties sold for. Now, those people can well and truly feel ripped off on any reckoning because they'll be rated on more than what their home is really worth, as proved through sales.
Indeed.
One does have to take account of the fact that there can be changes to, development of the property, but that's one factor.
Yes.
But as I understand it then, really all of those people, which is a great mass of houses taken in this sample, where the Valuer General's valuation is a percentage of the market value less than 100, those people are paying less rates than they ought to. But the point of, the real grievance is that some people are getting more of a rates discount than others through paying maybe 70% of valuation instead of 90% of valuation.
Yep.
And because the council wants some dollar figure overall rate take, it's drawing on those who have more of a discount, more than the people who have a slight discount. Yeah.
Your Worship, if I may just
Councillor Gart,
embellish what you're saying. To take Marino into account, the red figures on the bottom of the front page are recorded figures for Marino in the previous two financial years against sales. And you can see 46% of properties were valued above 90%. Now, I don't want to frighten people, and at least one councillor has said to me, oh, if we change this, I might end up paying more rates. I need that councillor to take into account that their fellow residents in this city are already paying more rates, as it were. What they should be doing is paying less rates. The point is that it's not as great an issue to solve as one might think, because there is a large weighting of people that are being relatively undervalued to a smaller minority that's being relatively overvalued.
All right. Councillor
and
Gard,
so the smoothing out will not be that
time painful. For me to see if there's a seconder to the motion. Councillor Westwood. Did you wish to speak to it, Councillor Westwood?
I agree with Councillor Gard. It's all about the relativity between the various residents and what they're being charged. It's not the actual exact amount. So some people are being charged 20 or maybe 30% less than they should be of their actual house value compared to someone in the same suburb or a neighbouring suburb. So I think the idea is that the Valuer General's pricing, for want of a better word, the values that he gives the councils to work on are not consistent. They're not at about whatever it was, 80 or 90% of the value of the properties. It's all over the shop, basically. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Fife?
Can I just ask a question through you to Councillor Gard? I'm not sure I completely understand the tables here. So, flicking to page 3 and using that Marino example, Valuer General aimed for 92%, is that correct? Okay. So let's use that Marino example. There's two ratepayers there who are on that 92% based on those recent sales, right? There's six ratepayers who would arguably be paying slightly more rates than they should, and there's 19 ratepayers in Merino who'd be arguably paying less than they should. Is that correct? Am I...
Cent, that's the whole of the right-hand column, because you have to take those two light brown columns are all of Merino for those 2 years. And I took those samples in order to get a bigger sample to show just what is happening, considering that we don't get a lot of house sales in any 1 year. So
sorry, Councillor Gard, to cut you off, but just to briefly answer the question, those two columns referred to by Councillor Gard show that most in Merino are actually paying under the odds in rates, and they should be paying more rates, most of those Merino people.
So what I was asking was correct, is that right?
Yes. The only, mathematically, the only qualification being that if all of the ratepayers under the 92 benchmark were brought up to 92, then everyone could be lowered a bit, if you see what I mean. So if all of the water levels were brought up to the same amount, there'd be a bucket load more rates collected, so in a sense we could actually lower the rate in the dollar if everyone was paying the same percentage in terms of that valuation. Do you see what I mean, Councillor Pfeiffer?
Yeah, I do, Your Worship, thank you. But this is based on the market and what... So the market value is what the market is prepared to pay for a property, correct?
Yes. Oh. I mean, what's missing in this, in a sense, is some sort of median... someone with statistical knowledge, help me.
Standard deviation.
Well, there's a point, if which could be worked out with calculus, that if everyone was brought to the 92% figure, you would then be able to lower the rate in the dollar by a certain amount. So it's not as if you were at, say, 91%, it's not as if a perfect world was created by the Valuer General, according to the Valuer General's benchmark, it wouldn't mean that their rates would go up, because they'd go up in an initial calculation, but then there'd be a general drop because we wouldn't need to take as much, because we're actually hitting all of those who are in the 70s and 80s, you know, and we could lower that overall level. So the net effect would probably be somewhere in the 80s, that if you're below that, you'd be paying more rates if the Valuer General acted as Councillor Gard wished, and if you were, you know, something above the 80s, you'd be paying more rate. Sorry, it's the other way around. You're paying less rates if you're above the 80s in that brown table, and you'd be paying more rates if you're less than the 80s in that brown table. Councillor Hull?
I'd like to ask a couple of questions. One is, whenever the Valuer General's involved, I've been asking this question for a long time. If we ask the Valuer General to review any of these properties in terms of, you know, what they're worth and what rate should be applied, is there any potential for us actually, by actions tonight, increasing the rates of even people in Merino, as first indicated by Councillor Pfeiffer? Is there a consequence to this where we might help out some people that are paying more rates than they should by changing the system where more people are going to be affected and paying more rates? So I'd like to know, what are the consequences of our decision tonight?
Councillor Hull, you raised Merino as an example. As a mathematical proposition, if you heard my previous answer, what that would mean is something upwards of a third of ratepayers in Merino would pay more rates if the Valuer General got everyone to the 92% benchmark.
The question is this exercise in the best interests of the broader section of the community?
Well, there would be winners and losers, that's the point. And, you know, if it would be a redistribution of rates impost from those who are lowly valued. From those who are, the rates impost would be transferred from the highly valued properties at present by the Valuer General to the lowly valued properties at present.
Reno, there would be significant conjecture with this.
Well, not so much conjecture. Statistically, it would necessarily be the case that definitely upwards of a third would be paying more rates in Merino. It might be, you know, take a figure of 50-50 if you like. Half might be paying more rates and half might be paying less rates. The complication is that the Valuer General's current assessment processes, and we've had explained to us the lack of resources in the Valuer General's office. They're not going to go down every house, they're not going to go down every street. They're going to look at either suburbs or possibly blocks, large blocks of areas, distinct communities within suburbs, and they're going to raise or lower accordingly. So, for example, taking your Merino example, if there were blocks in Merino where those 70% figures were appearing predominantly, then the Valuer General would want to increase their value and they'd be paying more rates. But if there was a little block of housing in Merino which are represented in the column with 90% plus figures, then they would be paying less rates if the factor was remedied. But it'll be, unless it's a perfect world, it'll be a rather rough remedy.
Confine our attentions to the suburb of Merino. The demographics of Merino can be quite varied. If you're fortunate enough to be at the front end with a sea view, it could be quite a different scenario if you are one of the original settlers in a modest home at the other side of the hill, if you like, or on the looking back towards Marion, if you like. And I think that's where the point of difference is in Merino. Those high-end market ones on the beachfront with sea views are paying getting a good market rate, because we all know that land and property is expensive along the seaboard, whether it be in Merino all the way through to Outer Harbour. So I think that, you know, those people are fortunate enough to be able to afford to live there. There's a premium. It's a bit like the premium you pay if you buy a BMW or a Mercedes. And the servicing costs for those vehicles are also higher than a Ford or a Holden. So I'd like to look at things in a practical sense about what we're really dealing with.
Number of speakers. I'll take now, Councillor Westwood, you've already spoken. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. Maybe I could answer Councillor Hall's question. So I think in the simplest terms, if we look at the average house, so the average house, say, in Marion as a whole is 400,000, that house we'd expect to pay around, if that house was worth, it'd have to be more, 450,000, say. We'd expect that house to be paying around 1,460 rates if it was valued at 92% or 90%, which is fine. For the next door neighbour's house, which is roughly the same value, in market value is 450, if that's valued by the Valuer General at only 70%, that person could be paying nearly $300 a year less in rates, even though it's the same street, the same house, the same value. But the Valuer General's got the pricing wrong, so one pays $300 more in rates than the other. That's what the problem is. We'd like to see both those houses paying the same rates because they're the same value in the same city, getting the same services. So yeah, there will be winners and losers, because when it actually eventuates, one will go up slightly and one will go down slightly, and they'll meet somewhere in the middle.
And just to reiterate, from the way that the Valuer General works and will work in the foreseeable future, the Valuer General, even with an audit, will take a block, well, not just a block, a chunk of community at a time. So in the Merino example, the Valuer General he or she rather, is not going to look at street by street or house by house, but might say, to take Councillor Hull's point, all of the coastal strip. If you're in the two streets next to the coast, we're going to actually bump up the valuation and you pay more rates. The problem is you've got your $2 million luxury three-layered house next to your original 1970s house, and the percentage increase will be applied to all of them in that chunk, because it's not a perfect world. Okay, other contributors? Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just thinking on the fly about this, and I know I love doing that, but the way this data's laid out, and I've seen this data before, I've talked to Councillor Gard about it, I just have a question about whether there's a timing factor in this, because it looks like some of the suburbs that have grown a lot have a lower market value, lower percentage market value, and I don't know whether the Value General applies the figure the next year, and whether there's anything in that data. I haven't actually had a chance to talk to Councillor Gard about that. Maybe he can address this question. So, for example, if there's a property in Marion that the last time the Value General valued it was worth $300,000, it's sold for $450,000, but the records haven't been updated yet at council because of the fact that there's a 12-month lag between then and when we charge rates again?
Well, I'll let Councillor Gard address that in his reply. Councillor Hutchinson?
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a few questions. I wanted to clarify, when was the capital value recorded for these properties, and was the market value then recorded at the point of sale? That's my first question. And my second question relates similarly to Councillor Pryor's question, which I think I can direct to...
Councillor Hutchinson, let's take them one at a time. Okay. You've got three questions, but first question, Councillor Gard, can you help?
So when was the capital value taken that you're using in this data, and when was the market value taken?
Last set of data for Marino, which was the previous 2 years in order to expand the sample, the sale prices were all of this financial year, and so the percentages that were worked out in the shaded columns were based on the percentage of the valuation as of this latest valuation and applied to the sale price in this financial year. So it's like with like. There's no lagging, there's no discrepancy in that regard.
Okay, Councillor Hutchinson, next question.
My next question was for the staff. When does the Valuer General adopt the recent market value to the property?
Mr. Mifsud, can you help?
Through the chair, councillor, they work through that process typically in the 4 or 5 months leading up to the beginning of June each calendar year.
Councillor Hutchinson. Any other councillor Telfer?
Does the market value sale reflect what's inside a house, whereas the valuer generally only assesses what's on the outside of a house?
Through the chair, it's a good question. I think you'd recall when we've had the valuer general meet with members the past 2 years that they've highlighted that when they work off initially the development approvals that go through for, say, extensions, et cetera, above a certain amount, they obviously don't have access to move in the house or around the house. So whilst they would go on site, they wouldn't actually go into the house or around the house. They would actually make an assessment from looking at the house from the front, typically.
The qualification to that being that sale prices do come into the mix ultimately, but in a general suburban context, not in terms of a particular house. Councillor Valescu.
some of this and the outcomes, and I recognise that Councillor Gard sees there is an injustice. I think we need to get a bit more information on this. I did notice members of staff in the finance area may not have understood some of the things. And whilst we can ask the Valuer General to consider this, I think we're also sending the message to the community that we want to change how they do their rates. And I think we really need to understand exactly how and why on that. So I'm just wondering if the mover would like
Valesky,
to...
Well, I take it that you're moving to adjourn the debate. The next two council meetings are the 14th and 28th of June.
I think after the budget. But I really would like to sort of do it with the mover's blessing, I guess. Because
well, no, we haven't got time to muck around. If you want to move that way, you move that way. Otherwise, we'll leave it.
Okay, well, I guess I'll move that we do it before August. Adjourn.
How many meetings in July? To the July meeting, the 26th of July. Yeah. Is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer, all those in favour? All those against? The motion is defeated. So we'll continue. Remaining speakers, Councillor Appleby.
I think members are missing the point. It's not about the outcome. It's about the fact that Councillor Gard wants all properties in Marion to be treated consistently. That's what it's about. It's not about preferential treatment. It's about the fact that if you've got a house at Marino or Edwardstown, that the valuation should be consistent. There shouldn't be a wide differential between the market value and the value of general's value.
Questions?
But it better be a good question, Councillor Valesky.
I'm just wondering how the rate capping might play into this.
Mr. Mifsud, is that related?
Through the Chair, yes. Under Council's current policy, rate capping across the board applies within the parameters that Council's gone out to public consultation on. In terms of the financial magnitude, it's relatively immaterial. So the benefit for ratepayers is relatively minor in the overall context of things, and individually relatively minor as well.
All right. If there are no more speakers, I'll invite Councillor Gard to reply.
During my cab driving years in Sydney as a student, I once shrugged off the fact to a passenger that, heck, I've got to go out into the western suburbs, analogous to our northern suburbs here in Adelaide, and that's the sticks and there's no money out there. And that customer enlightened me for life. He said, Tim, I let him know my name, I'll never forget the conversation. He said, Tim, do you realise that the highest household disposable incomes are in the western suburbs of Sydney? So don't ever think for a moment that the man that lives on the seaside is the man with the highest disposable income. He's more than likely the man with the highest debt, the highest mortgage, sending his children all to colleges, going here, going there on business, losing a lot of money on business, whatever. Whereas many people in our suburbs that are, let's say, medium class, I don't think we have any low to medium class suburbs in the city of Marion, have more than one earner under their roof. There are very high disposable incomes, mortgages paid off in the northern sectors, mortgages not paid off in the southern sectors. So we're not talking about appearances, we're talking about facts of what people have and how people should be treated. So it's not, never judge a book by its cover, and never consider that because a person who has a home that is worth more should be paying a higher rate than is fair given the system that is being applied. There is no reason on earth why anybody should be subsidising anybody else in this system. And the only reason it is going on is that the Valuer General has not done a good enough job over the years, and the discrepancy, members, is accruing by the year. It's not 1 year on, 1 year off. Generally speaking, with my house last year and most others, I know stretched right through into Hallett Cove, it was everybody up 20,000 in valuation. So that means we're not better off than the year before, and we're probably worse off. So I put it to you, members, that this is common sense. It's an appeal to your values of right and wrong, and what is fair and what is equitable under the bylaws that we must follow. There is no choice in this particular vote if you are going to abide by that. At the very least, you can make sure that the system is thoroughly checked and audited, and we would ensure that it is audited by third parties if we go this way.
I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried by a majority. Division called. Those in favour, please stand in your place. Those in the affirmative are Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Westwood, Byram, Valescu, Appleby, Gard and Crossland. You may be seated. Those against, just Councillor Hull. Thank you. Now, members, we have just 2 or 3 minutes before normal meeting closure time. My suggestion is that certainly no way we'll finish the four remaining items. There are two elected member motions and there are two confidential motions. The two confidential motions are time sensitive. At least one of the two elected member motions is likely to generate a fair bit of discussion. So if you could take that into account in terms of an appropriate motion, looking for someone to move. Councillor Valescu.
I'll move that we adjourn. Oh, will we have the meeting extend till we finish the confidential items?
Very well. Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood is seconding. All those...
That's just going into confidence and finishing those items, the confidential items and not... Because you said they're time sensitive.
Yep. So in the rest of the, yep, that, how would you... Right. Yep. So the motion is to address the confidential items only before the conclusion of the meeting. Is that seconded, Councillor Pfeiffer? All those in favour? All those against? That is carried by majority. So we now proceed to the confidential items. Councillor Hull has a question.
The motion that I put to the CEO about the Infrastructure Australia position with...
That hasn't appeared on the agenda, has it?
Yeah, there was some urgency with that, I thought.
I would suggest to you that there's not urgency about it. That's a long-term process, really. But in any case...
I would think it would be fairly straightforward here, but anyway, it's up to you.
Yes, but it might be straightforward, but it's not urgent. So we have those two confidential items to deal with. Sorry, just checking. So there are three, Soccer, Marion Leisure and CEO Performance Review. So I'm just making sure that I have, I'm not sure that I have all of those items. I've got soccer, I've got Marion Leisure and Fitness, and that's all I've got. So it makes it hard when you're chairing. So there are three confidential items. It's up to you, members. I'm inviting someone to move that we have a 5-minute adjournment, but... Councillor Valescu?
5-minute adjournment.
Seconded, Councillor Byram. All those in favour?
All those against, that is carried by majority. So we'll come back in 5 minutes. Thank you.
But they've had a long time to look at this. It's not rocket science. Make no mistake, I'm not trying to put in the pocket. Your word at a time like that counts for a lot around this table. Because you're really stringent and consistent about certain principles. So I really appreciate it.
These percentages, that figure expressed as a percentage of that total. So you can see, but this year is Merino, in the previous 2 years, 46% were above 90%. The actual sold price. There's no disputing the valuation. The market value when it's been sold. Some people say, oh, well, look, what's the market? That's why I went this way. It took me about 8 years to actually get it all out of the system, because I got it all out of the sewer. And it's the principle of equity and fairness, which I think we're starting to grow up about in this council. I really believe that, not just on this other thing, but sold about 300 books. And she still gives guest speeches. She is living in a bare bones old house that she can't divide because the zoning doesn't allow. And the rates are going up and up and up under her. And she's got no extra income she can afford. And there's a lot of those because Marina is a very so that people will have drumming birds on that stuff. So they die and they get very awful. You know, the house next door to us was knocked down just before we came. And then it was a widow of 90 years old. You know, she died about so, you know, there's a lot of those. And they are stretching. They're stretching. But on the other side of the coin, the reason I made that last point,
okay, folks, let's turn to the soccer item. And I would invite one of the members to move the confidential motion first. Councillor Byram, is that seconded? Councillor Pfeiffer, all those in favour? Raise your hand. Yes, that's... Is anyone against? No, that's carried unanimously. Now, once the door's shut... All in who's coming in, and then we'll shut the door. Okay.